Welcome to As It Is, a 30-minute program designed for English learners. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English. We also explain words and language rules, all while bringing you stories and information from around the world.
Jaylen Young seemed both excited and frightened about what her life would be like when she joined the Islamic State in Syria. 20-year-old Young is a former high school cheerleader and a chemistry student at Mississippi State University. She shared her feelings on social media with people she thought were Islamic State recruiters. They were actually United States FBI agents. Young admitted guilt March 30th to conspiring to provide material support to the Islamic State. She had planned to travel with a male friend, 22-year-old Mohammed Dakhlala, to Syria to join the Islamic State. He admitted guilt to a similar charge on March 11th. A report by the organization New America says 1 in 7 of the 4,500 Westerners who joined the Islamic State or other Sunni militant groups are women. Young recently converted to Islam and is the daughter of a police officer. The U.S. Justice Department released some of her conversations with the FBI agents. One exchange explains that Dakhlala got his passport and that her passport was due to arrive over the weekend. She explains that most people she knows do not approve of the Islamic State, but Young says she and Dakhlala know this is the true Khalifa. Khalifa refers to the Islamic Caliphate promised by the Islamic State. Still, Young is worried about traveling from Turkey to Syria. She messages the person she believes is an Islamic State contact, but is really an FBI agent. She and Dakhlala don't know Turkey very well. "I haven't even traveled outside the U.S. before," she says. She asks if she will be with people that speak English when she arrives in Syria. Young also discusses her skills in math and chemistry and says she and Dakhlala hoped to treat the wounded. Dakhlala, whom she met at Mississippi State University, appears to be a big influence. Young says on social media that they were married in June 2015. He says a lot of Muslims are caught on their doubts of Islamic State because of what U.S. media says, and he wants to assure them the U.S. media is all lies when regarding Dala, she writes. Dala is another word for Islamic State. Young and Dakhlala were arrested last August at a Mississippi airport. The FBI said that is where they planned to start their long trip to Syria. Ari Kruglansky is a professor at the University of Maryland who has studied why people join terrorist groups. They do so because joining the fight and defending the caliphate would bestow upon them a sense of meaning and significance, he told VOA. Other women are attracted to the traditional role of women that ISIS promises and their role in supporting real heroes and bearing their children, the future fighters for Islam. Some women and girls who joined the Islamic State drew news coverage. Twins Zara and Salma Haleen left their home in the United Kingdom 2 years ago. They were 16 when they traveled to Syria. New reports from the United Kingdom said they married Islamic State fighters, both of whom were killed in fighting. Recent reports offer seemingly conflicting information. Some stories said they were trying to escape and return to the UK. Another said they had tried to get family members to join Islamic State. The New America Report offers some examples of women trying to join Islamic State. Three teenage girls from Colorado were stopped in Germany on their way to join the Islamic State. Their fathers reported them missing. Shannon Conley, 19, also of Colorado, was arrested after federal officials say she arranged to travel to Syria to join a foreign fighter she had met online. Hoda Mutani, 20, of Alabama, made it to Syria and was assigned to recruit more Islamic State members online. Brigitte Nakos is an expert on terrorism and mass media at Columbia University in New York. She says there is no single profile for girls and young women who try to join the Islamic State. Some are leaders and others are followers. She adds that there are warnings for women even within the propaganda posted on the online Islamic State magazine, Dabiq. She posted this report from the magazine about responsibilities of the wife of an Islamic State fighter. Every sister should know that when her husband wants to marry another woman, it's not obligatory for him to consult her, not to seek her permission, not to try and appease her. The author writes that it is also fine for an Islamic State fighter to take a child bride. A human rights group says Turkey has been sending hundreds of refugees back to Syria since the beginning of this year. Christopher Jones Cruz reports.
Amnesty International says Turkey has been forcing about 100 refugees back to Syria every day since January. The rights group recently released a report that said many people in southern Turkey know about the forced removals. The report also strongly criticized the refugee agreement reached last month between Turkey and the European Union. John Dalhuizen is the European and Central Asian director for the group. He said, "In their desperation to seal their borders, EU leaders have willfully ignored the simplest of facts. Turkey is not a safe country for Syrian refugees and is getting less safe by the day." He said the deal to return Syrian refugees and others from Greece to Turkey can only be carried out with the hardest of hearts and a disregard for international law. Amnesty says children and a woman who was to give birth in a month are among those who have been forced to return to Syria. Turkey has not answered the report. About 3 million Syrian refugees are in Turkey now. That is more than any other country in the area. Turkey and the EU agreed that war refugees who arrive in Greece would be sent to Turkey after their requests for asylum are considered. Under the deal, for every Syrian sent to Turkey, one refugee would be settled in a European Union country. In exchange, the EU would help pay the cost of caring for the refugees. Also, Turkish citizens would be able to travel to EU countries without visas. The EU also agreed to quickly consider Turkey's request to join the organization. The agreement was reached to help deal with the worst refugee crisis in Europe since World War II. But human rights groups say the deal is illegal. They criticize the way the agreement deals with people trying to escape war, poverty, and terrorism. On Friday, the UN Refugee Agency said the agreement should not be put into place until a process is created to protect refugees. And it said conditions in Greece and Turkey are worsening. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
European officials say Islamic State militants may change their methods in future attacks after the bombings in Brussels. Anne Ball has the story.
Security agencies trying to break up Islamic State terror cells in Europe fear that IS supporters will use guerrilla tactics to attack major targets. Concerns were raised when images and floor plans of the Belgian Prime Minister's office were found on a laptop computer. The computer was found during a search related to the suspects in the Brussels bombings. There is also the evidence that two of the Brussels bombers had video recordings of a scientist at Belgium's Tihange Nuclear Center. These developments suggest some terror cells are ready to give up attacks on what have been called soft targets, such as train stations or eateries. Islamic State supporters instead might be preparing to attack bigger, more symbolic places. They're very invested in the pageantry of it all. So I wouldn't be surprised, said one U.S. official who knows about the intelligence on IS. There is no question that they see Europe as a battlefield. European officials are worried, and their ability to find and stop possible terror plots differs from one country to the next. We still have a very high level of concern for new terror attacks, a Western diplomat told VOA. The level of engagement and commitment to discover potential attacks is very high. The official agreed to speak after VOA promised not to release his name. Another concern is Islamic State's growing use of the Internet to share intelligence between its leadership at home and their terrorist groups around the world. IS has specialized in putting all its combat lessons learned online, said Malcolm Nance, a former intelligence and anti-terrorism officer. He now heads the Terror Asymmetrics Project. Nance said that armor-plated vehicles used in Ramadi are now showing up in Somalia and in Benghazi, Libya. And all of their intelligence sharing is happening at a very rudimentary or simple level, and it's very hard to capture. At first, intelligence was centered on IS militants using the November 2015 Paris attacks as a model. In other words, they were hitting many soft targets at once and killing or wounding many civilians. But the Brussels attacks suggest the group is now growing bolder, unafraid of its enemies. U.S. officials now believe IS is deeply rooted in Europe, making the situation more dangerous. There could be hundreds of jihadists who have returned home from Syria and Iraq, working to make thousands more into guerrillas who can still attack after suffering losses. Experts on terrorism like Michael Nance say the video of the Belgian nuclear scientists and the laptop plans of the Prime Minister's office mean it is only a matter of time before IS fighters hit high-value targets. You absolutely should just assume that they are all ready to attack, Nance warned. In the event of an attack on a nuclear center, Nance said, the goal would be to cause a meltdown inside. It would turn the reactor into a dirty bomb and release radioactive material. But Belgian officials have said there is little to show such attacks are about to take place. However, in France, officials say a terror cell did appear to be on the edge of taking action. On Wednesday, government lawyers announced terror charges against 34-year-old Frenchman Reda Criquet. They said the supply of explosives and arms found in his home was a sign that he planned an act of extreme violence very soon. I'm Ann Ball.
Next, Christopher Jones Cruz reports on the growing population of the U.S. city of Houston.
More people moved to the Houston, Texas area in 1 year than to any other metropolitan area in the United States. The U.S. Census Bureau recently released information about the growth of America's cities in 2015. It noted that five metropolitan areas in Texas, Midland, Odessa, Austin, College Station Bryan, and Houston, are among the 20 fastest-growing areas in the country. Texas gained almost a 500,000 new residents from July 2014 to July 2015. That is more than any other state. Many people have also moved to Atlanta, Phoenix, New York, and Los Angeles. The Census Bureau reported that Los Angeles County has more than 10 million people. It leads the nation's 3,100 counties. Metropolitan areas in Florida, North Carolina, and South Carolina are also growing fast. Last year, the population of North Carolina increased by more than 100,000 people. It is now the ninth state with 10 million or more residents. Most of the growth took place in or near the cities of Raleigh and Charlotte. North Carolina's metropolitan areas attract people because they have many different kinds of jobs and large universities and research organizations. Rebecca Tippett is the director of Carolina Demography at UNC Chapel Hill's Carolina Population Center. She told VOA that North Carolina has everything from the mountains to the coast. She moved there from Ohio. She says North Carolina is warmer. The Villages, an area in Florida west of Orlando, was the fastest growing metropolitan area in the United States and has been for the past 3 years. The villages grew 4.3% between 2014 and 2015. Five other metropolitan areas in Florida are among the top 20 fastest-growing areas in the country. Stefan Rayer is a population specialist at the University of Florida. He told VOA that young people generally move either for education or for a job, and Florida is one of the largest states in the country. It's very attractive. It has big metropolitan areas. It has good job opportunities. So that's why people are moving to Florida. About 275 million people lived in the country's metropolitan areas in 2015. That is an increase of about 2.5 million from 2014. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
France's national airline will allow female staff to volunteer for a new route to Iran rather than require them. Air France announced that female flight attendants must wear a headscarf, also known as hijab, on arrival in Iran. Some flight attendants objected. The union representing crew members said they worried that females would face discipline if they refused to work the flight. The airline now says female participation on the route to Iran will be on a volunteer basis. The airline begins three flights a week between Paris and Tehran on April 17th. The headscarf issue puts the two cultures in conflict. Women in Iran have been required to wear hijab since a revolution in 1979. In France, religious headscarves are not allowed in some schools and offices. It is also against the law to wear the full-faced veil in public in France. I'm Kathleen Strzok.
This is What's Trending Today. The area around the California city of San Francisco has some of the worst traffic in the United States. One of the main bridges that connects San Francisco with Oakland, another big California city, is called the Bay Bridge. It goes across the San Francisco Bay. An average of 270,000 cars cross the Bay Bridge every day. If anything stops traffic on the bridge, it becomes a big problem. In 1989, a big earthquake caused part of the bridge to collapse. The bridge was closed for a month before repairs were complete. San Francisco drivers were not happy. This past weekend, on the morning of April 3rd, police officers on motorcycles stopped traffic on part of the bridge. The traffic lanes on the normally crowded bridge were empty, except for some police on motorcycles chasing something down. What were they chasing? A small black dog called a chihuahua running around on the bridge. Although the dog weighs only about 5 kilograms, it could run pretty quickly. Police had trouble catching the dog. They finally caught the dog by throwing a piece of clothing on him. They saved him from getting hit by any cars. On social media, people joked about the high-speed police chase. One Twitter user said, "What can shut down one of the largest bridges in the United States? An adorable chihuahua, it seems." The police are still looking for the dog's owner. And that's what's trending today.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. Restaurant chefs, home cooks, and foodies, people who love good food, often say that we eat with all of our senses. First, we use our sense of sight to appreciate how a meal is presented, either on a dinner plate or a dining table. Our sense of touch can also be important when preparing or sharing food. Next, with our sense of smell, we breathe in the mouth-watering aromas rising up from the meal. Finally, we enjoy and perhaps even savor the food with our sense of taste. But what about our sense of hearing? Does sound also affect our dining experience? A new report answers yes, it does. That answer comes from researchers at Brigham Young University and Colorado State University in the United States. They found that hearing is important in the eating experience. Hearing is often called the forgotten food sense, says Ryan Elder. Elder is an assistant professor of marketing at Brigham Young University's Marriott School of Management. He says that if people notice the sound the food makes as they eat it, they might eat less. On the other hand, watching loud television or listening to loud music while eating can hide such noises, and this could lead to overeating. For the study, the researchers wanted to test whether the sounds of eating, chewing, chomping, and crunching had any effect on how much a person ate. During the experiments, the test subjects wore headphones and listened to noise at either a high or low audio level. Then researchers gave them a crunchy snack, pretzels. The study found that subjects who listened to the higher volume noise ate more pretzels than those with the low audio levels. Elder says that when hiding the sounds of eating, like when you watch television or listen to loud music, we take away the sense of hearing, and this may cause you to eat more than you would normally. The researchers are calling this the crunch effect. The researchers admit that the effects may not seem like much at one meal, but over a week, a month, or a year, all that food can really add up. But besides not overeating, there is another upside. Hearing the noises of your meal as you eat could help you to be more mindful of the experience and perhaps help you to enjoy it more. The researchers reported their findings in the journal Food Quality and Preference. I'm Anna Mateo.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.